Well, we're going to be continuing our series tonight. If you have your bulletin and you know that, we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 tonight again. We'll be there for the next little while. And so if you have one of your ribbon, Brother Dave McCracken, he'll be with us in December. And he calls these the ribbon hangy dealy bobby thingies. And so if you have a ribbon hangy dealy bobby thingy, yes, sir? Oh, yeah, he thinks he's really special because he had one with just one. He was jealous of the people with two, and now he's got one with three. So he's got three hanging downy dealy bobby thingies. But I would just leave it there in 2 Corinthians because we'll be back here quite a while until the end of September, which the way time is flying is going to feel like a week and a half, but looking forward to it. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So if you would find your spot and stand, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and we'll just continue where we left off in verse number 16, verses 1 through 15. Apostle Paul was encouraging the church at Corinth to get back into the giving. They a year before this letter was written, had made a commitment to give to that church at Jerusalem. We'll say a little bit more about that as we get started. And so he's asking them about that and encouraging them to finish what they started and take a collection that way. And as they give, sorry, I got a thing right here. As they give, they're going to give, like we said this morning, to Paul, but not just to Paul. They're giving it, Paul's going to take it to the church at Corinth, I mean, the church at Jerusalem, right? But we understand it's not really given even to them, it's given to the Lord. But there is a practical part of this, where Paul is going to have to take this collection, not just from the church at Corinth, but the churches of Macedonia and all the other churches that get involved, and take it to Jerusalem. So he's going to describe a little bit of the nuts and bolts. I'm telling you, these two chapters are very practical and helpful that way. Really gives us the layout about how that we can do missions. We don't have to get a committee together and figure out, okay, churches, how can we do this? The Bible's already told us. We don't need to find out what works the best. We just need to find out what the Word of God says. And when you do that, here's what you'll find. It will work the best, and God will use it. And so he's going to give some nuts and bolts about that part of it, taking the giving to Jerusalem. Look in verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother. We don't know who this guy is. We just call him the brother. Whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us unto the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Verse 20 is an important verse. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. Paul's saying, we want to be above board. We don't want anyone to think that we're asking for this money and then using it for our own benefit. And there's a lot of people who did that in those days. There's a lot of people who do that in these days. And there's a lot of churches that get in trouble that way, and people get all nervous about giving to churches, sadly, because of things like this. And so Paul says, we're going to be above board with this. Verse 21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, another brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. So we're going to pray again to our message. The title is this, Handling Missions Giving with Integrity. With integrity. Subtitle, Let's Live Above Board. Let's live above board. And all we do, live above board. Let's pray, we'll get into it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you again, just for the practicality, the help that we find in these two chapters. And God, help us as a church family, as Valley Avenue Baptist Church, your church here in Falls City, Lord, help us to have a desire, have a passion even, potentially even could be labeled an obsession, to live according to your word and do what your word says. And Lord, help that to be no different in this way of missions and helping others work their field. And so I pray that you help us to find clarity in your word and help us know how that we can perform this, what we call faith promise missions. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. All right. Amen. And so again, as we move into Missions Month, I'm just going to reiterate this, and you're going to hear me say this a lot. Everything we do here at Valley Avenue Baptist Church is rooted in the Word of God. If the Word of God says it, we do it. If the Word of God says not to do it, we don't do it. If the Word of God doesn't say anything about it, then we find biblical principles that help us and guide us and help us know what we're going to do about it. Okay? And so what we're going to do is not what men say. We're not going to do what the Baptist denomination says to do. We're not going to say what independent Baptists do. We're part of the Global Independent Baptist Fellowship. I'm so thankful for that. I love the GIBF. We agree with them, but we're not doing what we do because of other GIBF churches. We are our sole authority. One authority is the Word of God. Okay? And so, and missions is so important and it's so helpful. And this crowd tonight, you come on Sunday nights and you hear the updates and you're behind them and you're excited. And it's good that we're excited. It's good that we're forward as we've been, eager, willing to be a part of missions. But sometimes we can even allow our eagerness, our willingness, our excitement to get ahead and outside of what the Word of God says. So we're gonna stick to with what the Bible says and build our missions, quote unquote, program built on what the Word of God says. And nothing's changing. But we've been doing this for years and years. But what my heart is behind this is that we understand that what we're doing, there's a reason why. And it's not just because we're Baptists. We want to follow the Word of God. And by the way, while I'm on this note, this is kind of a sidetrack situation. The Global Baptist Times, which we're having out there, we're going to start receiving more of those. We received 10 of those last time, and they were gone. All gone. We have one left. No one's brave enough to take the last one. If you want it, take it, all right? But we've increased that to have 25 copies. That's the next step up. And I want to encourage you to take those. And they're good stuff. They're very helpful, very informative. Helped us. Part of what that magazine does is it does update on other missionaries, independent Baptist missionaries all throughout the world, Heartland updates, just good content. But what they're going to be doing with this series is why, basically, why series. Why do we do this? I think this next one is why do we have an invitation? And they're going to explain that. There's going to be why do we use the King James Bible? There'll be an issue on that. And I love that because it's really right where we are as a church. I never want us to just do things because it's what we do. And there's a danger in that. There's a tradition in that to where we can, if we're not careful, do and teach the commandments and the traditions of men instead of the commandments of God. And sometimes, even the traditions of men can line up with the commandments of God and they're the same thing. But we still have to be thinking this way. We're not doing this because it's the traditions of men. We're doing this because it's the commandments of God. Okay, and so all of that to say, we're going to deal with this part, with Faith Promise Missions. So what we've seen so far, we've seen the example of the generosity, the joy, the grace in giving from the church at Corinth, the churches of Macedonia. We saw them get excited. We saw that here's what we're seeing. Here's the biblical model of Faith Promise Missions, that churches throughout the world would see the need to help another church, and then churches of like faith, who all believe the same thing, band together and help with a specific project. That's exactly what's happening with the Church at Jerusalem. Church at Jerusalem has a great need. The churches at Macedonia heard about it. The church at Corinth has heard about it. I'm sure, no doubt, more churches than those four have heard about it. And they're going to, each of their own accord, between them and God, decide how they as a church can help that other church, and they're all going to give. Okay? And so that's the model. And that's what we do. All of our missionaries, that we support. We are not the only church that supports them. Several, some tens and dozens of churches, some maybe even hundreds of churches are behind them. Heartland would be that way. I believe 300 churches get behind Heartland and help with that. This is biblical. You know, we're not a hierarchy. We don't have El Presidente of the, you know, who tells us what to teach and preach, and no board, no hierarchy board can say, all right, Pastor Chad, you're done there. We're going to move you somewhere else. They don't get to do that. There's no authority between us. There's no authority between, we have no authority over Riverside Baptist Church. They have no authority over us. We have no authority, even though we support these churches. We have no authority over them. We're just helping them. We're just helping each other. That's the biblical way. A hierarchy, I just want to say loud and clear, a hierarchy of churches is highly unbiblical. And it has its own problems. But the biggest problem is it's unbiblical. So that's the model. And so in that, there's lots of funds moving here and there. And so today what we're going to dive into is this stewardship, in a sense. What's happening is all of these churches are going to give their gift, whatever that church and God decide. They maybe have a faith promise, they didn't call it this, but a faith promise missions conference, and say, how much church are we going to commit to give to Jerusalem? And then all these churches will gather up funds, and they will put them in a big pile. They don't have like checks and credit cards and stuff. And they take all this in a big pile, and they're going to give it to the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is going to take money that's given from the church at Corinth, and money from the church at Philippi, and money from the church at Berea, and money from the church at Thessalonica, and other churches, and put it all in one big pile. And again, this is physical cash, right? And he's going to take it to Jerusalem. And there's no GPS tracking devices here. The churches are like, all right, Paul, see ya. And he could totally take that and go have a sweet vacation somewhere, practically speaking, right? I mean, are you seeing it? And by the way, the reason I say that is because there were a lot of quote-unquote godly men who did this. And they would go and preach in towns and get a gathering and take a collection, and then they're out. And so what the Apostle Paul does is says, here, we're not going to do that. And we want to help you see exactly how we're going to handle the funds that you give. Yeah. And so that's a biblical model of really how to handle giving, how the church leadership should handle giving. Whether that's really, this is specifically the model is for missions giving, but really all of our giving, we should handle it a certain way. And so honestly, in a lot of ways, this sermon is actually directed to the leadership of the church. This sermon is really directed toward, pinpointed at me, so I'm going to preach to myself for a little bit, and then really directed toward our trustees, right at Brother Josh. Brother Tim's always wanted a sermon that's right for Brother Josh, and here we are. As our treasurer, and we have trustees throughout the building, this sermon is directly really for them, first of all. But I will say this, it's also an encouragement to you, everyone in here, to make sure that we are handling God's money with integrity. And if that's going to happen, it's going to be up to the church to hold us accountable. And to not just because you're on some kind of tirade or power trip, but because you want to make sure we're doing things God's way. Yeah. Now, so if something doesn't seem right to you, please, I don't know how else to do it than this, just to beg you, please say something. If something with the way things are done, please say something. Now, do it with the right spirit. Don't come, you know, ready to fight, but ready to figure it out. All right? But the last thing we want is for something to be missed and God's money to be mishandled. And I mean it when I say it. I'm wide open to questions. I'm wide open to concerns about any of this. And by the way, I'm planning to be here for the next 70 years. Okay? And so whenever I'm, what would that make me? 102, okay? And so whenever I'm 102 and I die, okay, that's when it'll happen. And I'll be in this pulpit preaching and probably still in Luke. And then I'll die. You be very careful. Listen, listen, church, you be careful about putting a man in charge who wants to handle all the money himself and doesn't want you to ask any questions about it. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. What we never want is for some charlatan to roll through here and drain the church dry and leave. And you say, does that happen? It happens. I've seen it happen firsthand. Not, I wasn't there, but some people I've been close to, I've watched it happen. And it's not good. And the reason that happens, is because in those places there were no systems of integrity in place. And if there were, the people weren't enforcing it. And the people who need to enforce it is the church. Because the leadership can have integrity policies and then not do them. Right? And so I didn't really plan it this way, but this morning I have 4 points. Okay? I don't usually do it like this. This morning I had 4 points. Tonight, here's what we have. We have 4 ways that Paul made sure that these financial gifts that were given by these churches were handled with the utmost integrity. 4 ways. And then we'll see that, and we're going to make application to us and how we can handle God's resources that he's entrusted to us, okay? And so, number one is this. We're going to just call it, for sake of clarity, stewardship, okay? So let me just explain what that means. Stewardship is whenever you're handling somebody else's money, right? And in a sense, all of our money that we have is really not ours, right? And so we're all stewards of what God gives us in a personal way. But even more specifically, Paul here is being a steward of these churches' money and giving. And then as the leadership, as Brother Josh and myself and the rest of the trustees, as we handle the finances that have been given to us, it's not given to me. Thank the Lord for that. It's not given to Brother Josh. It's given to the Lord, and we're to steward what you've given. And so we're just going to call it that just for, so it's not super long points, okay? Stewardship requires personal investment. That's the first one. Requires personal investment. What do you mean? Well, Paul begins this whole thing by expressing his confidence in Titus. And Titus had a sincere concern and love for the Corinthians. Look at verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put this same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. So Paul is saying that Titus here, hey, Titus was going to be the one that would go and tell them about the giving and maybe even be a part of this thing. And Paul, Titus isn't a part of all of this out of obligation. It's not like Paul said, Titus, you go. That wasn't how it was. His heart was there. He was genuinely concerned for them. And there's that word again, verse 17, forward, eager. Hey, he was excited. He was excited that these churches are helping the church at Jerusalem. He saw the need. He was excited. He was eager. And he wants to be a part of all of this. And that's why he is. And so this is really important because stewardship in this way isn't just about managing resources. It's really about caring for and loving those who are impacted by how those resources are used. Can I say that again? The people who handle God's money, we're not just managing resources. What the trustees of our church are doing, and Brother Josh included, is they are caring for and loving those who would be impacted by what's given. Well, what do you mean? Titus wasn't just a go-between for the church at Corinth and the church at Jerusalem. He wasn't some third party. This wasn't like, Money Movers Incorporated, you know, and hit some random dude on the street. Hey, can you do this? No, he was involved. He was excited about this. His heart was in this. And no doubt Titus himself had given to this. You see, he's a part of all of this. And because he's so excited about what's happening in the church at Corinth, because he's so excited about helping with the church at Jerusalem, there's just no way that Titus is going to take this money and then pocket it. Just practically speaking, it's not going to happen. Why? Because he's invested in this too, you see. Yeah. And so the leadership of the church The people who handle the funds need to be people who you can tell are personally invested in the church. And they're personally invested in the spread of the gospel. Are you following this? And so whatever you're saying, hopefully I live in such a way that you can sense that I'm personally invested in Valley Avenue Baptist Church. I'm not here to line my pockets. Okay, and I can just tell you that. I hope that you can see that. And not only that, but I'm personally invested in missions. I'm invested in reaching the world. I'm invested in getting the gospel out there. Or really whatever project you give toward. I'm part of that. I'm invested in, and with you, you see. And hopefully you feel the same way about Brother Josh. And hopefully you feel the same way about our trustees. Hey, when we vote for our trustees, you need to understand there need to be people who are in this, who are personally invested in this. And these men, our trustees and Brother Josh, our treasurer, these men have a burden. They have a desire to see God do great things through Valley Avenue Baptist Church, through our missionaries, through Heartland, through all the things that we give our money to along the way. They're invested. They're part of this. They're with you. And so because it's their heart, it should be this. It just wouldn't make any sense that a guy like Brother Josh would take this and pocket it, right? It just wouldn't make any sense. And so as a general rule, the men who handle the giving of our church should live in such a way that if they were accused, hey, if they were accused of laundering money from the church, everybody would be shocked. That's how we should live. But if you're thinking like, well, they might be doing it. They shouldn't be around the money. You see it? And honestly, they should live such a life that we just don't believe it. You're saying that, but this didn't give me hard evidence, right? Those are the kind of people that need to be involved. And that's who the Apostle Paul got involved. Men like Titus, men like this other brother, men like this other brother. And they were invested. And so stewardship requires personal investment. And I'm thankful that we don't send our deposits off to some company to handle all of it for us, aren't you? Some denominational hierarchy. Here's the deposit. Hope it makes it where it's supposed to go. I'm glad we don't do that. We have men in our church who are invested, who are with us. Yeah. And they care just as much about what this money is going to as we do. That's good. That's important, isn't it? It's important. So that's number one. It requires personal investment. Number two is this. Stewardship requires accountability. Stewardship requires accountability. Hey, just because Titus seemed like he really cared about what this money was going to, Paul made sure that other people got involved too. Verse 18. And we have sent with him, the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches. And so this is a man who the churches who gave decided he should be one that's a part of this. And they would know his heart, wouldn't they? It's almost like he's a trustee, you see. To travel with us with this grace, he calls the gift grace, we dealt with that this morning, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of the same mind. Of your ready mind. And so Paul, again, introduces this other brother, apparently well known for his preaching. So this guy was a preacher, so that's cool. He was known for his, what it says there, his praise in the gospel. That most likely meant he was a preacher himself. And we don't know who this man was, but whoever he was, here's what we do know about him. People knew him. People trusted him. He was chosen by the churches to accompany Paul and Titus as they took all this cash. Okay? So now we have Paul, we have Titus, we have this other brother. Now, why did they do that? Didn't they trust Paul and Titus? They know Paul, they trust him. They know Titus, we've just dealt with it. He has a heart for this. Why did they do that? Yeah, they trusted Paul and Titus, but they just wanted to be above board. They just wanted to be above board. This wasn't calling Paul and Titus's character into question at all. They just want to be above board. They wanted to make sure that the handling of the financial gift was done with this, accountability. Accountability. And Paul understood the importance of having multiple people involved in the process so that everything is above reproach. And as we handle the giving that comes in at Valley Avenue Baptist Church, accountability is vital, vitally important. And so what we need to do, and what we have done, and I'm going to do my best to, throughout the course of the message, tell you the processes and procedures, but we've put in place systems that provide accountability. We don't need to trust any one guy too much. We don't need to trust ourselves too much. We need accountability. And that's why we always have two trustees counting the money. Every Sunday, we take up the offering. We have two men in the back. Two men take the money to the safe, put it in the safe. After church, two men go back there. They count the thing. We have two men who create the deposit. And when they do that, when they count the deposit and they create the deposit report, they sign it. And so that way and then date it most of the time. Sometimes we forget to do that. Yeah. But that way we know if something's not right, we know where to go. You see? And then the deposit bag, they put it in the safe and lock it. And then the deposit bag is taken locked to the bank who has a key. You see? And we do all of that. Why? Why do you do all of that? Don't we trust them? Yeah. most of them. No, we do. We trust them. But we do it because we want to be above board. And sometimes it's annoying. And doing these things and needing all of these things put in place and making sure we sign the thing and make sure we put the date and making sure all this paper trail is there. But it's important. Why? Well, it protects the giving, but it also protects those men, doesn't it? And so no one has to ask. Everyone knows. They didn't do anything. They couldn't if they wanted to. They don't want to. But if they did, they couldn't. Which brings us to our next point. Stewardship requires transparency. Stewardship requires transparency. Look at what Paul said in verse 20. Avoiding this. Why are you doing all this, Brother Paul? Why are you doing this? Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Hey, Paul was careful to involve several men for accountability as he managed the money he was given. Why? To make sure that no one could even accuse him or his team of misusing the funds. That's why he put all that in place. Now, why would he need to worry about that? And there's people who would ask that question. People are going to bring accusations all the time. Doesn't God know, right? God knows who's doing right. Even if people make accusations, aren't we only worried about God? Well, we're worried primarily about what God says, but God says to also take into consideration what people say. Well, how do you know that? Well, it's what it says, isn't it? Verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Who wrote that verse, Paul? Who really wrote that verse? The Holy Spirit did. And God says we need to do things so that they're honest, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men. Are we to fear men? No, we're to fear God. But God says, do things so that they're honest in the sight of men. Be careful of a guy who doesn't think they need to be honest in the sight of men. God knows what I'm doing. Yep, he does. And I'm pretty sure I know what you're doing too. He might not even be doing that. But that's the point. You see? If someone's going to avoid accountability, makes us nervous. Right? Yeah. You recognize that stewardship isn't just about what is done in private before God. It's also how it appears before men. It does matter. And Paul knew that any appearance of dishonesty, any appearance of impropriety with this could damage his trust with the churches, and rightly so, and more importantly, could harm the reputation of the gospel. And we've seen that, haven't we? That's why messages like I preached this morning make some people cringe. Because churches just want money, and some do. And so when we handle finances wrong, it gives a bad reputation to the gospel, doesn't it? And there's some pastors that will do nothing but preach on money, but then there's some that will overcorrect and never preach on it. Can't do that either. Just do what the Bible says. But what I'm telling you is it's hard to do that sometimes because of, we'll call them goobers. How's that? That's a theological term that we'll use, goobers. I think it's in the Hebrew, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, all that to say, Paul made sure he wasn't the only one who knew what was going on with the money. Paul was not the only one who knew. Because transparency is very important. And yes, we trust our men, and God knows. God knows if they're doing right. But we want to provide for honest things, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men. And it's important that we all, listen, it's important that we're always being honest, transparent, and above reproach, and honestly, to an extreme sometimes. Why? Well, because a lot of churches are split over money problems. There's a lot of that have. Most splits are over some kind of money. And the people in the pew say, this church thinks too much about money, but clearly the rest of the church does too, because splits happen because of it all the time. Money plays a part in things. And churches will split over that. And sometimes it's because the pastor or staff really, honestly, truly, it's been found out, weren't being honest. and pocketed some of this stuff. That happens. But I want to say this. Sometimes it's just because they were handling the money with such little accountability, such little transparency, that it just made everybody nervous. And maybe he was doing right. He says, well, you guys don't need to worry about it. Me and God know. And he might be doing right, but he's not doing right. See? And so we need to, that's why here we try to be overly transparent. You guys are probably annoyed by the spreadsheets and all this stuff. And that's why every month at Men's Breakfast, we go through all the categories. We have everyone listed there, all the funds. So I have all the accounts of the previous month. And we're no accounting firm, but we do our best to make that available to our men every month. And that's why I always tell each of you, please, if you have any questions, ask any questions. You are free to ask whatever you want about the finances. We'll sit down, we'll chat about it, we'll explain to you why we do what we do and why we did what we did. And we want to be as wide open, we want to be as honest, we want to be as transparent as we possibly can, and never give. Listen, here's the point. Never give any reason for anybody in this church to doubt our integrity. And so if you ever have that, where you're wondering, you're questioning, you gotta come to me, or you gotta go to Brother Josh, or you gotta go to a trustee and say, what's the deal with this? Can we figure it out? And again, not in a bad spirit, but we can't let those things fester, because they do fester. We're gonna be open. Last one is this. Stewardship involves trustworthiness. Trustworthiness. Last three verses here, verse 22. And we have sent with them our brother. Okay, so this isn't the same brother. This is another brother. Okay, so we have Titus. We have the brother that the churches chose. We have Titus, we have Paul. And now we have a brother that Paul and Silas chose. You see? And so every party is involved here with being a part of this. And we have sent them, our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things. And you know what this is? Just another layer of accountability. Because what if those churches are sending a guy who's going to go get that money and bring it back? You never know. And so now Paul's sending another guy. The more the merrier. And he says, we've oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner, fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. And so again, this brother that now we're introduced, somebody that Paul and Titus would have known, Paul said he knew him and chose him because of his diligence. He had character. Paul had full confidence in him, trust in him to manage all of this and be a part of it. Paul also then reminded in verse 23 of Titus again. He reminded them, the Corinthians here, that Titus, along with these other men, these are not just random individuals that we've chosen. They were all Paul's partners. They were all fellow workers. These are all people who were working the field themselves in their respective place. All people who love the gospel. All people who are interested in this gift. And they are all people that you can trust. Now, we can't bring everybody with us. But you're going to have to trust these guys. It would become quite the mess if every time we bought toilet paper, we had to vote on it. You know, we don't do that around here. We have a budget. We talk about it in February. That's why it opened. When we have financial concerns, financial things come up, we have the trustees. And the church votes for the trustees. And just for practicalities reasons, just like here, Paul wasn't going to bring everyone with them. So the church had to pick a guy who they would trust, who would go with Paul. And then when these men, Paul, Titus, the brother and the other brother, when they're all there, they can trust things are being managed and well. Still under the accountability. And if something doesn't look right, they'll sniff it out. But at some point, it becomes impossible to always have everybody involved with everything. Okay. And so, based on the trust that the church of Corinth could have with these men, he told the Corinthians to show ye to them. In verse 24. Show you to them before the church is the proof of your love. What does that mean? Basically, that means you can give them the money and you can trust. It's going where it's supposed to go. It's going where it's supposed to go. And so in our stewardship, trustworthy leadership is key. We've got to be able to trust the trustees. I think they're aptly named, don't you? You've got to be able to trust them. And it's so important that you're able to trust me and Brother Josh and the rest of the men as we manage the money that you give to the Lord. And I want to say I am so, so glad I have less and less any kind of hand in this. Now, I'm still the pastor. I've got to oversee. And so I don't know who gives what. And the men, we all talk about everything. And so I'm thankful for that. And so this is not just me running this show. This is primarily Brother Josh and me and the other trustees. And so hopefully, again, you can trust each of them, even on a personal level like we started with, right? You just know them. You know them. You trust them. But even above that, it's important that we always, always, always keep accountability, keep transparency, keep those procedures in place. Why? So you never, ever have to wonder. You just don't have to wonder. And if you are wondering, we're not doing our job. If you're wondering, come talk to us so we can do a better job. Because our goal is that nobody has to wonder. No one has to question in a bad way. Everyone can, but they don't feel like they need to because things are in place and you can just see it's working. And again, I can't say this enough times. If you ever wonder about it, you got to come talk to us. We're here to talk to you in a right spirit, again. But we'd love to talk to you and work it out because here's what we don't want. We don't want to give Satan a foothold here. He's looking for a foothold. And I didn't write it down, but somewhere in the Corinthians letters somewhere, Paul says that his favorite way to destroy churches is what he called unforgiveness, conflicts, fights. You know how you get unforgiveness? Someone does something dumb, and then someone doesn't handle it right, and then the other person doesn't handle it right, and before you know it, Satan gets in there and he divides. That's what he wants. And finances is a big part of that. It's just one of those that happens a lot. And we need to avoid that at all costs. The only way to do it, accountability, transparency. And from that foundation of accountability and transparency, trust. Not too much trust, but trust. Our mission is too important that we'd be distracted by scandal, be distracted by mistrust. We don't have time for that. And so at Valley Avenue Baptist Church, we need to always handle things with integrity. By the way, money is part of it, but not only money, right? Children's ministries, right? All of our ministries. Whatever we got to do, we got to be above board. And by the way, all of us should live that way on a personal level. I just want to encourage you this way. We all need this. We all need accountability. You say, no, I don't need it. Yeah, you do. I've heard a man say this, a respected man. He said, I don't need accountability, partner. I got the Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit is telling you, you need an accountability. Okay? We need that. And we listen, what matters most, obviously, is what God thinks of us. We have to remember that. So again, there's a fine line between this and fearing what men think. But we all need to have standards in place so that no one in our life has to wonder, are they doing right? We shouldn't have to live that way. We should live above board, shouldn't we? We need to live above board. And now, I'll say this, no matter how hard you work at it, there's always going to be some goober out there who's going to falsely accuse you. But let it be this way, that you live in such a way that if some guy out there falsely accuses you, that everyone who knows you says, they're wrong. That's how we ought to live, right? And so we need to be above board. We need standards in place. We need systems in place in our church, in our life. Why? Because we shouldn't trust each other that much, and we shouldn't trust ourselves that much. We have dirty, nasty, wicked flesh who wants to take our life and take what God wants to do with us and throw it through the grinder. He wants that. And we have a devil out there who's like a roaring lion moving about seeking who he may devour. And you know who he devours? The ones who are away from the pack. The ones who are out doing their own things. The ones who are just saying, hey, it's me and God and I don't need nobody. He's going to come and get you. And it won't take long. We need accountability. We need to live honest and give place for honest things, both in the sight of God and in the sight of men. Let's live above board. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you so much just for these two chapters and how you're using them already. God, just to strengthen our thinking on this. God, sometimes sermons like this are more nuts and bolts and sometimes can feel even like policies and procedures themselves. But God, your word is there not just to stir emotions and pull heartstrings, but to give direction, to give instruction. And Lord, help us to, again, just have a passion, God, to live the way your word says to live. Help us to take this matter of accountability, this matter of transparency, and take it, Lord, and take it seriously and live this way that Paul's talking about. Even if we have nothing to fear, even if someone came and ruffled through our things, we have nothing to worry about. Lord, help us to live a way that no one has to ruffle through our things and know we're doing right. Help us to have those standards in place. Both as a church and individually, help us to honor you that way. Lord, if there is one here that's not safe, God, again, we just pray that you would take what was said here and use it in their heart, helping to see through this that they need you. They need a Savior. They need their sins forgiven. They need your help. They're going to live the way you called us to. We love you. Christ is my friend. Amen. Let's stand together. The piano's already playing. God's worked in your heart. Now's the time to respond.